You have your Bibles this morning, you can open up to Luke chapter 22. Verses 14 to 20 chronicle this Last Supper of Jesus Christ with his disciples. So we begin reading in verse 14. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves, for I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. For those of you who may be our guests this morning and wonder why we gather together for communion, the Lord's Supper, I want to briefly answer that question. The participation in communion does not save anyone. It does not impart new life. It is specifically for those who have been converted by the grace of God. It's for those who have repented of their sin and placed their faith in Christ and his accomplished work on the cross. In fact, it is to remember that work of the cross on our behalf. Christ's broken body, his shed blood for his people. This is not just some religious exercise. It's an act of worship for those who belong to the Lord. In fact, it's one of the most intimate acts of worship for those who belong to the Lord. So if you are here this morning and have placed your faith in Christ, we want to invite you to join us. As we look at Luke 22, did you hear Christ's words? Specifically two words that he mentioned twice. This is my body given for you. This cup poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood for you. Don't miss Christ's heart for his people in this passage. He's reclining around this table. His first words were just how much he desired to eat that Passover meal with his disciples. In fact, the strength of this statement is lost a little bit in the English. He actually repeats the word for desire. The literal reading would be something like, with desire, I desire to eat this meal with you. So why was Jesus so passionate, so desirous to eat this meal with them? Because he wanted them to understand something. He wanted them to understand why he had to suffer. Why he had to experience what they would be witnessing just a few hours from that moment. My body will be broken for you. My blood will be poured out in your place. I will be your substitute. I'm experiencing your punishment for you. I will bear the full brunt of the Father's wrath upon sin for you. I am doing all of this for you. I have you in mind as I go to the cross. It is for you that I suffer. The result of Christ's words leads to life and freedom and satisfaction and delight. I know the plans I have for you, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, as we read back in Jeremiah chapter 29. This is the message of the Lord's Supper, what Jesus did in our place for you. It was an evidence of his persevering faithfulness to his people. Jesus would experience the horrors of the cross because he was the only hope sinful man had to be reconciled to the Father. He was the only hope. Nobody else but God himself could come to earth, become man, to take the place of sinful man. He was telling them with these words for you that I will be faithful to the very end. For you. It was also an evidence of his unbelievable humility. The body of Jesus would soon be broken for others. His blood would be shed for others. And while there's no question that he would be eternally glorified for that sacrifice, as Jesus states in Mark chapter 10 and verse 45, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom in the place of many. In fact, it is this mind of Christ to which we are all called in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. As we find in the 8th chapter of the book of 2 Corinthians, one of my favorite verses, I think about it a lot, but especially at Easter. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. For you. It was an evidence also of his self-sacrifice. Jesus willingly gave himself, knowing the horrors, both physically and spiritually, that were to be faced on the cross. He voluntarily sacrificed himself. He did not think of his own comfort. He thought only of the task before him. I mean, even while his body was being broken, even while his blood was being spilt, he thought of the well-being of others, the continued care of his mother, Mary, the forgiveness of sin for his enemies, the eternal soul of an insurrectionist, the fulfillment of his redemptive work for people from every nation, tongue, and tribe. The heart of faithfulness, humility, and self-sacrifice demonstrated at the Last Supper are perhaps even more stunning as we see the events surrounding that Last Supper in Luke 22. I encourage you to read the entire chapter sometime today. Jesus' faithfulness matched with betrayal, as one of the 12, Judas, was at that very moment selling Jesus out to the religious leaders for 30 pieces of silver. Jesus' humility matched with pride, as we find following the meal his disciples locked in a discussion about which of them would be considered the greatest in the kingdom. His self-sacrifice matched with self-preservation, as we find Peter attempting to save his own skin by denying that he even knew Jesus. Are we not thrilled this morning that Jesus' faithfulness, humility, and self-sacrifice are not contingent upon our own? He died for our sins in our place. And that is why we celebrate communion this morning. We're going to go now to a prayer of confession. I don't know all of you necessarily. I don't know what your background is. I do know one thing about you, and the same thing is true of me. We are sinners. We're sinners. You may have been saved for 50, 60, 70 years. You're still a sinner. And we need confession. We need confession daily, hourly. And so we're going to go before the Lord now, and we're going to confess. We're going to have a moment of silence while you confess individually, and then I will pray for us corporately. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Merciful Heavenly Father, we need you. Without your Son, without his accomplishment on the cross, we would be absolutely hopeless. No way to remedy our problem of sin. No way to be righteous, because our own righteousnesses are really equivalent to filthy rags. We confess this morning that we do not deserve any good that comes of your hand. We do not deserve your grace. We do not deserve your mercy. Lord, it is all because of your love. It is all because of your goodness. We also want to confess this morning that there is no remedy for sin except through your Son, Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to you but through him. And there is no salvation in any other, for there is one name under heaven by which men are saved, and that is your Son, Jesus. And so we thank you for this sacrifice that we celebrate this morning on the cross and what was accomplished on the cross as he paid the punishment for our sin and in return gave us his righteousness for those who have believed in him. But we also thank you, God, for your continued grace and mercy in our lives as we continue to sin as humans. We give into our flesh, we follow our own desires, we ignore your will. We transgress your word. We worship ourselves rather than worship you. And so, Father, we need you just as much today. God, we need your grace today. We confess these things before you this morning. Amen.